Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 full minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word. Then we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so we say welcome to each and every one of you who are tuned in this morning. If this is your first time tuning in, we say a special welcome to you, and we hope you come back each and every Sunday morning and make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many months and weeks and years now, we say thank you to you, and we're grateful for you who have been regular listeners. Gather the Outcast is a ministry dedicated to bringing the lost into the kingdom. And for those who don't know the good news that Jesus saves, our mission is to share the good news with them, that they would come to know his salvation, come to know repentance and his salvation. And so for that purpose we exist. And we invite each and every one of you to join this ministry, to partner with it. There's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, we ask for your prayer support. We ask that you be in prayer for this radio ministry and also for the other endeavors that we are undertaking here with this ministry. And especially at this time, we're making plans to go back to Africa, a couple of crusades I'm going to tell you about here in just a minute. And secondly, we invite you to partner with this ministry with your contributions, with your offerings to the Lord, that you would come before the Lord and share what he has blessed you with and make available to the kingdom through this ministry to get the good news of the gospel out into the prison and this region through the radio, and also to minister to the people in crusades and revival forums. We're going to be going back to Africa, as I mentioned before, and we're going to do crusades in western Kenya in the city of Mumias, and we'll have pastor training there. We'll do a five-night crusade and pastor training for approximately 100 pastors or more from Uganda and western Kenya. And then we're going to go to the Democratic Republic of Congo and do a five-night crusade in Goma, G-O-M-A, town in Congo, a city of 500,000 people. It sits on a large lake, Lake Kivu, and we're going to be invited there by Pastors Association and the governor of North Kivu Province. And so there's doors opening up there for a great revival, a great crusade there in Kivu and in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And it's an area that's rich in resources, rich in minerals, and God also is opening up the door for us to possibly help develop resources and minerals in that area. And so God is doing a mighty thing, and our first priority there is to share the gospel and bring the good news of the kingdom to those in that North Kivu region. So there's a lot going on in the ministry, and we invite you to partner with us. We invite you to come before the Lord with an offering. If you have questions or would like more details on the upcoming Africa trip, we invite you to contact us, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and let me know that you're praying for us. Let me know that you are interested in the details of the trip. And so we just invite each and every one of you to partner with us in that way. There's a couple of ways that you can contact us. First, through regular mail, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. And also you can contact us on the World Wide Web at GatherTheOutcast.com. That's GatherTheOutcast.com. And we've got a great website out there with videos downloaded of last year's crusades in Kenya, and also still pictures and prophetic dreams and visions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom there on the website. And we also have a prayer request line there. If you would like to make a prayer request, you can post that on the website, or you can post it to my email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I would love to share my prayers for you through that avenue. So pureprairie@hotmail.com is my email address. If you have prayer requests, just let me know, and I would be more than happy to pray with you over those requests. You can also go to a blog, jimrau.blogspot.com. That's jimrau.blogspot.com. And you can get to the blog from the website and vice versa, back to the website from the blog, jimrao.blogspot.com. And on the blog, we have 275 or so teachings on subjects, gifts of the Holy Spirit, sexual immorality, spiritual warfare, prophetic dreams and visions, and many other subjects that you will be interested in. So check out that blog, jimrao.blogspot.com. Well, I'm going to talk this morning about fire, a consuming fire that is before us here in America. And so God has given me some teaching, some instruction on fire, and it's on everybody's mind. We've had so much dry weather and fires consuming thousands of acres of grassland and mountain property, and so stay tuned for that. We'll take that up here in just a minute, right after the prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the open door that this radio ministry provides for the opportunity to speak your word over the radio airwaves, for this broadcast into the prison over this region and over the internet to the four corners of the world. Lord, we thank you for just providing for us the bounty of the harvest of the early rain, the wheat harvest. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask you to bless the people out there listening today, that they would feel a touch of your presence, that they would feel your presence over them today. For those that need healing, we ask you to bless them and heal them. And for those who need emotional encouragement and strengthening in their spiritual walk, Lord, we ask you to strengthen them today. And we thank you again for this open door, this opportunity to speak out over the radio here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the open doors in Africa, for the crusades that you've opened the doors for us, the opportunities to develop resources in Republic of Congo. And we thank you, Lord, for your love for the people there. We thank you, Lord, that you want to raise up the people there to strengthen and encourage them in their walk and also in their economic development, to help them, to give them a hand up. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all provision. You are the one that gives us the power to make wealth. And so we just praise your mighty name for the open doors there and the ways that you're moving in that nation that's full of darkness. Lord, we pray for this country. We pray for our president, for the Supreme Court, for the Congress. We pray for wisdom, direction, revelation. We pray for the upcoming election, Lord, that you would give people wisdom and give them divine revelation on who would be the best leader for this country. And we thank you, Lord, that we can have free elections and we can meet together freely and discuss your word. And Lord, we thank you for this radio broadcast, just the freedom that we have to speak your word out over the airwaves here in this area. Lord, I pray for provision, that each person out there listening today would pray about their part in helping this ministry and helping move the kingdom forward. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are a God that cares about us. And Lord, where there is a vision, you will provide the provision. And we thank you for all this, Lord. We pray it in your precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there this morning, turn it to Joel, the first chapter. And I've been praying a lot this week about the fires, as everyone has, and just to bring rain into this area and into the Rocky Mountain area where there's so many fires burning and so much destruction going on. And the Lord has just been speaking to me about the nature of the fires and the nature of his love for this nation, how his desire is to bring this nation back to him. And so I just pray that you'll receive this message this morning, and in light of the messages that I have spoken the last two or three weeks about the prophetic insight God has given me into what is coming to America. I just pray that you'll receive this message and be on your knees in prayer for this country, be on your knees in prayer for the leaders of this country. It is a critical time here with the election coming up, and it's a critical time, a crossroads time for this nation, and the opportunity exists for this nation to turn back to the Lord. The opportunity exists for each and every person and us corporately as a nation to turn back to the Lord and to exalt him and to lift his name on high. And so I pray that you will consider that in your life today, and you will consider what is your place here in God's kingdom. You'll consider what is your place in moving the kingdom forward in this nation and turning this nation back to its godly principles. And so hopefully that we can pray that the God who created this nation, the God who created the universe, in fact, and all creation, that he will show us mercy, and that he will withhold his hand of judgment, and that mercy again will triumph over judgment, for the sake of his glory, for our sake, for our children's sake, our grandchildren's sake. Lord, we just ask you to do this, and we know that you are able. Well, the Lord has taken me into Joel, and the prophet Joel prophesied at a time when things were pretty bleak in Israel. It's just a small book in the Old Testament, and the prophet Joel was crying out to the people to get right to the Lord, and so I relate to him a lot. I relate to his passion. I relate to his message. I relate to his conviction, and God used the prophets to try to bring correction into the people. The prophets were then the guides for the people, for the body of Christ, and they still are to this day. The prophets are the guides trying to guide and bring correction into the body of Christ. And so I pray that you'll receive this message. If you need correcting, well, receive this as correction. If you don't need correcting, praise God, just receive it as admonition and encouragement and a desire for all of us to link hands and to link arms and turn this nation back to the Lord and move it forward, move this nation forward into its highest calling and its highest destiny, as just as we pray for ourselves and for our children to be moved into their highest calling and their highest destiny, so too we do that for this nation. And so in the first chapter of Joel, Joel paints a bleak picture of what's going on in the land of Israel, a bleak picture that I think is somewhat similar to what we're experiencing right now. I hope to some extent that what we're experiencing right now, this incredible dry weather and intense heat and fires all over the place, I hope that this is just a temporary situation. And I know to some extent that all things are temporary here on this earth, but I pray that this will not be a lasting drought and a severe drought, although it wouldn't surprise me if it is, because the Lord has spoken to me in the past about famine. I spoke that out on my radio program just a few weeks ago about the dream the Lord had given me about famine, and so I know it's a realistic possibility, and I just pray that this is not it. I pray that this is just somewhat of a temporary situation. But Joel is describing the bleakness and the situation that Israel is in at that time. He says in Joel 1, verse 10, "The field is ruined, the land mourns. For the grain is ruined, the new wine dries up. Fresh oil fails. Be ashamed, O farmers, wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine dries up and the fig tree fails. The pomegranate, the palm also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field dry up. Indeed, rejoicing dries up from the sons of men." And I'm going to stop there right now and just say that what you're seeing happen here in America is that rejoicing, and I'm sure it's not just in America, but it's also in Europe, as the euro is practically collapsing and it's all but dead. They're just propping it up with last-ditch desperation measures. And so you're going to see the Europe, I believe, the euro and the European Union that is supporting it. I believe you're going to see that collapse probably within the next 6 months, and it will cause tremendous ramifications for the economic systems of the world. And so you're seeing that rejoicing is drying up. Rejoicing, because people who have their hope in money, people who have their hope in riches and in building their own economic kingdoms, those people are going to lose their joy, they're going to lose their rejoicing. And even today you see this happening over and over. You're seeing many suicides, you're seeing many people turn on their families and then turn on themselves and turn on their neighbors. And this is just, brothers and sisters, a symptom of the anguish, a symptom of the despair and discouragement that is here in this country, that people are putting their hope in the wrong thing, that people are putting their hope in the creation instead of the Creator. And so if you're in that situation today, if your hope is lodged in riches and your hope is lodged in your economic security, I pray that you get your heart right before the Lord today. I pray that you turn your heart to Him today, that you cry out to Him. Maybe you have a good job. Maybe you have plenty of money saved up, and still yet we know that God is the source of our provision, that God is the source of our wealth, and all of the wealth of this nation depends on Him. And so we ask the Lord to continue to bless this nation. We ask you to bless the resources and the development of those resources, the protection for that development. And so we just continue to ask the Lord to protect us so that our rejoicing doesn't depend on our own economic security. Our rejoicing depends on the Lord God Almighty. And Paul tells us in the 5th chapter of Romans that the hope in the Lord does not disappoint. And so when you put your hope in Him, you will never be disappointed. And if your eyes are set on the circumstances of your life, if your eyes are set on the economic situation in your life, you're going to be disappointed, brothers and sisters. You're going to be disappointed, for God wants you to set your eyes on Him. He wants you to lift your gaze and set your eyes on Him. And He wants you to turn to Him so that no matter what happens, you will not be disappointed, because the hope for all eternity is the knowledge and the assurance that we have Jesus Christ in our life, and that we can trust Jesus Christ to be there for us in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how bleak they look, that we can look to Jesus as our Redeemer, as our Conqueror, as our Deliverer. And then if we do that, our rejoicing will not dry up. Joel 1 verse 13, "Gird yourself with sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, for the grain offering and the libation are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." And I'll just stop there and say there was a prayer meeting in Norton on Thursday night to cry out to the Lord, a prayer meeting to consecrate a solemn assembly, to gather the elders and those who wanted to pray to the Lord, to cry out to Him. And so I thank you for those people that were there. I thank you for those who organized that meeting. And I believe it's a sign of the desire on the part of this community to cry out to the Lord, to acknowledge Him as the source of all of our goodness, to acknowledge Him as the source of all of our riches. And so I thank you for those who were there. And I ask you, Lord, to continue to stir up the hearts of the people in this area, in this community, that we would cry out to you and proclaim a solemn assembly, because it is you, O Lord, that is going to change the situation. Lord, you offer to the people a choice to make, and that is to change their situation, to change this nation. You offer to the people a crossroads to come back to you, to turn back to you, just as Joel was saying to the people, turn back to the Lord, turn back, because the day of the Lord is near. In verse 15 in Joel 1, "Alas for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty." Verse 19, "To thee, O Lord, I cry, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned up all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for thee, for the water breaks, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness." Well, you've seen pictures, I'm sure, on the television and on the internet of the fires that are consuming thousands of acres in the Rocky Mountain area in Colorado, New Mexico. Thousands of acres have been consumed here in western Kansas. And so the pastures are dried up, the fields, the trees in the fields are burning, and so God is sending an evil influence. He's allowing an evil influence, an evil spirit, to stir up the arsonists and to stir up the demonic, and people are setting fires intentionally now. They have been stirred up by the demonic, and so we just ask the Lord to put a stop to that. We ask the Lord to make a way where there seems to be no way. We ask the Lord to bring rain, and we cry out for rain, not only to nourish the crops and nourish the fields, but also to stop the fires and to stop those who would be willing to go out there and steal, kill, and destroy and do the devil's work here on this land. Well, you may ask yourself, does the Lord judge nations? And we've talked about this in the past. Yes, the Lord does judge nations. He has the authority to do that. He is the creator of all things. He's the creator of not only you as an individual, but he's the creator of nations, and he can allow nations to come and nations to go. In Jeremiah 18, it says in verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Verse 7, "At one moment I can speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity which I plan to bring upon it. Or at another moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build it up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good which I had promised to bless it. So then now speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning calamity against you and devising a plan against you. O turn back, each of you, from his evil ways, and reform your ways and your deeds." And so God says that in verse 11, if it does evil, if this nation does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I had promised to bless it. And so we are in that situation right now in America. We are in that situation that God has made the way over the last 200, 300 years to bless this nation. God has given us great blessings, great resources, abundance of water, abundance of material blessings, abundance of harvests. Over and over, he has blessed this nation, and he has made it clear that this nation is a blessing to him. And this is a great missionary sending the nation. It's a great nation that has shared the gospel all over the world. And yet, we know that God can turn that. He says, I can speak differently. I can speak against that nation and take away the blessing which I had promised it. And I can allow that nation to be uprooted and upplanted. And so, God, we ask you not to do that. We ask you, Lord, to continue to bless. And I know, brothers and sisters, that sometimes maybe you think this sounds like a broken record coming from me, but I just cry out to the Lord and cry out on behalf of all the people listening here today in the prison and in this region, that you would turn back, that you would consider your ways and turn back and ask the Lord to bless your life, repent of your sin, turn from your wicked ways, and see if the Lord won't restore the blessing for your life, for this city, and for this nation. Well, in Psalm 2, the Lord also says, he speaks through David here, "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Well, God who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." And that's what God is saying there through David. He's saying, I have installed my king. His name is King Jesus. I have installed him upon Zion, my holy mountain. The kings of the earth sometimes think they're king of all the earth. They think that they are in control. They think they're sovereign over all the affairs of man. And I assure you, brothers and sisters, that the kings of this earth are not in control, that they are not sovereign over the affairs of man, that God has installed his king, and the king of righteousness, the king of glory, is King Jesus. And so as we look to him, then we have our eyes set on the proper king, on the right king, on the king who can truly deliver us. Psalm 2 Verse 10, Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. And so take your refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your refuge in him and abide under the shadow of his wings, under the shelter of his shadow. And so if you abide in him, you will not be touched, you will not be harmed, and the deadly pestilence will not come upon you. Well, I'm going to close back today in the second chapter of Joel. And from the first chapter of Joel, which was a picture that Joel painted of the bleakness and the desolation, the sorrow, the drought, the famine, all of those things that were happening in Israel, the second chapter is a picture of the coming of the day of the Lord. And it's a picture of deliverance. It's a picture of God's consuming fire coming in to set the captives free. It's a picture of God wanting to take authority and taking authority over the situations of all mankind, the circumstances of all mankind. And so he says here in Joel 2, verse 1, Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble, of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. And verse 3, A fire consumes before them, and behind them a fire and flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but a desolate wilderness behind them, and nothing at all escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses, so they run. With a noise as of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire consuming the stubble, like a mighty people arranged for battle. Before them, the people are in anguish, all faces turn pale. And then I'm going to drop to verse 11. And the Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, for strong is he who carries out his word. And so a picture of God's consuming fire. Verse 11 again. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome, and who can endure it? Verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a libation for the Lord your God. Well, God wants to leave a blessing behind him. He wants to leave a grain offering and a libation for us to give to the Lord. And so I ask you this day, brother and sister, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you committed your life to him? Have you said yes to him? Have you said yes to the urgings of the Holy Spirit in your life, the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Have you turned from your wicked ways? Have you repented? That is God's wish for you, for every person, man, woman, and child on this earth, is that they turn from their wicked ways, that they repent of their sin and turn to the Lord. And so the Lord is not patient, is not slow about his promise, but is patient and wishes that all would come to know his salvation, wishes that all would come to know repentance and know his salvation and his love for them. Have you done that this day? If you have, you know the rejoicing that is in your heart. You know the desire in your heart to serve the Lord. But if you haven't, I suggest you do that today. Just get down on your knees and ask the Lord to come into your heart, come into your life, turn you, change you, turn your eyes to him, turn your heart to him, and repent of your wicked ways. If you do that today, if you make that decision today, get in touch with me and let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and let me know that your desire is to serve the Lord, and I will follow up with you, make contact with you, and get you some materials for you to read, and start you on your Christian walk as serving the Lord. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week.